Good evening, and welcome to Soul Odyssey Radio. I am your host, mystic medium, animal communicator extraordinaire, Deborah Herman. And each week, we talk about different topics of Soul Odyssey, which is the journey that you're on, know it or not. A Soul Odyssey is a journey with some challenges and tribulations, and you are here on Classroom Earth to learn lessons and to ascend and expand and to become the best you can be. And so in the last couple of weeks, I've invited very interesting, well, interesting to me. I hope they've been interesting to you. I've invited guests on the show to introduce different topics and different aspects of soul awareness. And we talked about EVP, which is electronic voice phenomenon. And then we had Sheldon Neidel, who is, as he would explain it, a Galactic Federation messenger, and he talked to us a great deal about changes that are happening in the next several years. And this week, we are talking about animals, one of my absolute favorite subjects. We're talking about animal communication, and I'd really like to open the show up to callers. We are a live call-in show. Our phone number here is 888-815-9756, and this is your opportunity to ask about your animal companion or to ask questions about the scheme of things. I believe that more of us are becoming aware of animals, and we're being able to interpret what they have to say to us for a reason, because our animal companions not only are able to communicate love to us, and they're not only here to enrich our lives, but some of them are actually here to convey spiritual messages to us. And, of course, I'm referring to my mystic wonder horse, Tonk. And those of you who know me from Facebook may have had the opportunity to look at some of the videos I've done with him. And, you know, it's as fascinating to me as it is to you to see that there really is a telepathic communication between a human being and an animal like a horse, and that what he has to say is really different than what I would have thought or would have anticipated. As I've become more aware and more open to animal communication, it really surprises me the types of things that come through. I began to feel, you know, a while back, like I was becoming, you know, Debbie Doolittle. If you've seen any of the Dr. Doolittle movies, especially the more recent ones with Eddie Murphy, the first one he made, I thought it was really hilarious. You know, when he started hearing all of the little animal chatter and the types of things that they would say. And then, you know, a few years later, lo and behold, that becomes me. And it started out at, I mean, I've had a telepathic relationship with my horse for many, many years. And some of my earliest psychic experiences were around animals. I was given the understanding of life after passing through a cat that I had who, when he passed over at the vet, I saw him walking around my house and knew that he had visited me at the exact point of his departure, and I never had a psychic experience like that before. That was many, many years ago, at least, 25, 6 years ago. And so, wow, that made me realize that you can have a psychic connection to a pet, and that indeed the soul continues after leaving the physical body. I would have communication from animals in the dream state where I'd have a cat showing me a picture of opening the cabinet and taking the food out and putting it in the bowl. But of course, we all know that animals are, cats are definitely from their own planet. They can communicate whatever they need. And whether they're doing it through body language or they're doing it directly through your thought process, Cats are amazing creatures. Well, we have our first caller. I welcome Ken from Ohio. How are you today?
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
Awesome.
Lil and I had a weird thing happen on Sunday. We found a dead cat on our porch, and it was very, very upsetting to both of us, and I was wondering if you could give us a little insight on what happened.
I'm picking up more of a stripy cat.
Yes.
Okay. I actually think it died on your porch.
Yes, it did.
I think it went there to die.
Okay, but why our porch?
Because it was a warm, safe, spiritual place to die. And, you know, because when an animal knows that they're going to pass, they'll choose a special place to do it. You know, on some level, maybe it knew that it would be noticed. You know, or it's quite possible that it, you know, was dying and didn't want to die and went to your home because maybe it thought it would receive help.
Oh, God.
But there was nothing you could do. It was its time. It's nothing you could have done. It just sensed that it was a house. It sensed that it was a cat house. You know?
Okay.
I know how much you love animals, and I know you have one or two now?
Two.
Okay. So, I mean, it was sensing that this was energetically the right place to go.
Okay.
And indeed, you're giving it, you know, by talking about it now, you know, you're giving its spirit a passage to the other side with love and with concern. I think it was just a cat that was dying.
Okay. Yeah, we did a burial for it and everything.
Well, if I were a cat that was dying and I wanted a nice burial from people who loved me, I would go to your house.
Yep. Okay.
Do you know what caused its death?
I have no idea. I didn't see anything on it that it was dead probably an hour or two because there were flies already on it when we found it.
Well, I think it was very blessed to have gone to your home.
Okay. All right. One other question,
sure.
If I might.
Sure. I'm having a few technical difficulties with my sound. Are you all in? Me.
I'll pick it up. Hello? Can you hear me better? Deborah?
It's not that. It's not you. It's my
okay.
It's my system. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, what
can
is
you
your
hear
question?
Me? Okay. Our cat Bertram has a tendency to urinate, and he's also, well, there's a couple things that are going on. One, I see areas in his eyes that are look like they're scarred in the iris.
Okay.
They're not the same color. And he has a tendency to urinate, which we know is anxiety, and he also vomits. And I was wondering if you could give us some help with what's going on with him and what we need to do to help him feel better.
Now, both your cats are Siamese, correct?
No, this guy's a, what do they call it, an Oriental. It's the same thing as a Siamese, just a different color.
But he's like an exotic cat.
Oh, yeah, yeah, very definitely. Very definitely.
No, he's not your average run-of-the-mill hang-out-in-the-alley.
No, he's not.
Okay. This is going to sound funny. I don't believe there's anything physically wrong with him.
Okay.
I think he's a neurotic cat.
Okay, well, that fits.
You know, he's just a neurotic cat. And, you know, like some people are just very sensitive to their surroundings and they can't respond well to stress and all that. You know, that's why he does the vomiting and the marking.
Okay. And there's
How
nothing wrong in his
How problematic is it for you?
Well, I mean, it drives a little crazy because, you know, she likes to keep the house clean, and I just slough it off as,
is he,
you know,
marking,
well, we
is he marking
it.
Clothing?
Yes.
Okay. That's what's probably driving her the craziest. I really think you both love the cats. I don't see you getting rid of the cat.
Nope, not a chance.
Right. I'm seeing a vision of putting, first of all, you won't be able to leave clothing out, and you won't be able to leave it, if you ever leave it on the floor, which I do. I will admit on this radio right now that there are times I make piles, okay?
Yep.
Which you should be able to do in your own darn home, except if you're sharing it with animals, and I have a cat that, you know, certain piles he won't touch, but if it's in the closet and he gets in there, you know, I don't know why. Cats are quirky. But I'm seeing getting, like, plastic things to hang in your closet to hang your clothes and put the clothes in.
I gotcha.
Okay? You're going to need to change your behavior to kind of adapt to the fact that he's not going to, like, really try to beat the system. It's more convenience. Cats like to pee on things that are soft.
Okay.
You know?
Can you still hear me?
So if you make sure these things are not there for him, then he won't do it.
Okay. Can you still hear me well?
Pardon?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. I switched the speaker so that Lil could hear this. Okay. Well,
I'm envisioning something that you can get at, like, it's like a Kmart, and it's sort of like a padded plastic thing, and you zip it, and you keep your clothes in it.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Sure. Sure, it's like a travel bag or something.
Yeah, and you just keep it, and just keep the clothing away from the cat, and the cat is just, you know, he's just, if it's not convenient to him, he won't do it.
Right. Well, he hasn't peed on anything hung up.
Yeah, right.
He's not peed on anything that's hung up. It's stuff that was actually piled on top of the dresser.
But it was piled.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, unfortunately, unfortunately, they picked their place, and sometimes I had a cat that used to urinate in a clean laundry basket. I mean, a basket with clean laundry.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They'll, you know, and of course it's annoying, but, and I'm sure that you can talk to the cat and tell it not to do it, but, really, I have found that, you know, I mean, I think the cat is doing it more out of, it's there and I really just want to do this.
Okay, so it's not out of spite, but he just has his own mind.
Yes. So you're going to have to outsmart him by just not making the opportunity available, and I really apologize because that's a pain in the neck.
No. Well, I just wanted to make sure he was okay because...
He's not... I don't feel he's ill, but, of course, you, I'm sure, keep his checkups on time, and, you know, anything wrong, you're going to take him right in and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, we appreciate it. Say hi to the family, and we love you.
Well, I love you, too. Hey, don't forget, vote for Deborah for Oprah's next talk show host.
I have been.
Okay, well, keep it going. All you got to do is go to Oprah Own TV, and there's a place where it says browse and vote, and you go under Deborah Herman. There's only one Deborah Herman, and I just keep voting, even though there are people who are like, you know, 9 million votes ahead. Everybody who's like a normal person who's entered, you know, I don't know how those other people got like a million votes. But I'm still in the running for the normal people.
Good.
So, okay, so everybody out there, vote for me. Be really cool to do a show like this on television. So anyway, let's get back to animal communication. And this evening was going to be all about horses. Again, this is live call-in. I welcome your calls. I'd love to talk to you about your animals. I know they would want to talk to you. They want to give you messages. They want to tell you what they're thinking. They don't want you to be upset with them because of their behavior. And sometimes they have spiritual messages for you. Last time I went to see Tonk, he said some very interesting things about how it's really important for us to know that we have within us a divine inner spark, and that we need to be calling upon God and our spirit guides to help us, and we need to reach out to other members of our herd, and that one of the biggest spiritual difficulties that people are facing nowadays is loneliness. I'd love to hear from some of you whether you agree. Tonk was saying that it's important to tell people that you love them, all the time, and that it's not just a gesture, you know, that makes you vulnerable. You're really feeding their soul. We all are feeling right at this time where, you know, we're entering into a time of chaos and change, and there are so many things around us that could make us feel frightened and insecure, that we are really in need of connection with one another. And so this last video I did with him, which was set to really awesome soul music, I must say, he talked a great deal about connecting with your herd. And finding your passion and finding your joy, which seems to be a very common message that he's given to me when I have spoken with him. And I understand that a dear friend that I've met, you know, also through Facebook and through animal communication, who's, I guess, halfway around the world, she's in Finland, she says that she's received very similar messages from her horse, who has passed over, and she's an animal communicator, and the horses in particular are the keepers of the land. They're the keepers of the web of love between all animals, and they are connected also to, last week, you know, we were talking about species, I guess, planetary representatives from various places, and we talked about the Sirians, not from Syria, but the planet Sirius, and we talked about Arcturians, and I do not claim to be an expert about the Galactic Federation. My territory is more what I call the spiritual hierarchy. But I'm learning, as you are, and from what I understand, the horses are more related to the Arcturians, who are a species of, or who are planetary beings, who are the most evolved spiritually, and they are the helpers of our planet. They are the ones that have been really helping to keep the balance between light and dark. And they're called the horse people. So I think that there's a strong connection between what Tonk has been saying and between the message and the messages that come from the Arcturians. And years ago, I may have said this on the show last week, but years ago, when I was first coming into awareness and I was receiving messages and channeled messages, I received a phrase, "Go Ma Achitem," and I didn't know what it meant, and then when Sheldon Neidel was on, he had gotten a translation for me that it means we come in love and peace, I believe, and that was from the Arcturians. So there are a lot of really fascinating things happening in the universe, and our job now is to grow and to expand our thinking and to make changes in our day-to-day lives. And connecting with our animal companions is a direct way to do this, because they really will talk to us and they will give us a sense of love and belonging beyond what we really can receive from other human beings at this time. Because all human beings are going through, we're all being turned inside out. So sometimes coming home to the love of a dog And the unconditional acceptance is a real blessing and a bonus, and it's life force. It's pure life force. I have of late been doing dog on the street interviews, and you know, dogs tend not to say a lot at one time. But what they do say is very on point, and sometimes they're sort of the arbiters of the family, and they take in everything and they feel everything. They can also take on your pain, and they can help you figure out where you fit in the world. So that's why they're so wonderful as healing animals and as therapy animals, because they're so acutely sensitive to everything that we feel. So again, this is your chance. When I do the animal communication shows, I can talk and talk and talk, but this is your chance to really ask questions about your animal companions. Anything you want to know, I will tell you. I will tell you how to communicate with your animals. The number here is 888-815-9756, and I love animals. I have sort of tried communicating with each life form. When I've tried to communicate with seagulls, they basically said, go away, we don't like you, we hate humans, and leave us alone, we just want to steal your food. And that really cracked me up, because that was early on when I was first doing, you know, the animal telepathy, and I just thought I was crazy. But that bird, I heard it as loud as could be in my head, as clear as day, go away and leave us alone. So I don't bother seagulls. I do tend to hide my food from them when I get to go to the beach. If I do, I like to try to go to Cape Cod in the summer. I live fairly close to there. And the seagulls and I have a little bit of an understanding. I do have to admit that I was teasing them. Last year I went to a wedding on Long Island, and I was throwing bread in the air and getting them to dive bomb each other. But I guess, you know, turnabout's fair play. I do love all creatures. They're all created by God, but, you know, seagulls are, they can be nasty. So other creatures, I do tend to connect with fish. I do go to this one Chinese restaurant where they have a tank, and I'll stand in front of the tank, and by golly, there's a big fish in that tank who swims and faces me directly, and the two of us commune, and it's just a love fest. Anyway, we have Kathy from Kentucky. How are you, Kathy?
I'm wonderful, Deborah.
Well, that's awesome. And
I had a question.
Certainly.
Can you hear me? Because we're breaking up.
I can hear you fine.
Great. Well, I have a mother and daughter beagle. They're beagles.
Okay.
The most loving pups, lovey-dovey pups in the world. I mean, they're very dedicated and devoted. However, the mother is a little standoffish. When I go to pet her and make over her, she pulls away. But the daughter will be very submissive. She'll lay on her back and let me rub her tummy all day. And I was just wondering if you've got anything about the mother. Is it because she's jealous, or
no,
what do I need to do?
No, it's protection. She watches over the little one. And so her job, because animals have jobs, her job really is to be the alpha and the protector. If you had time with her by herself, you know, without the baby, it would probably be a different dynamic, and she'd be, you know, if you took her places and just hung out with her, which I guess you probably did before the baby, right?
Yes, definitely.
Right. So it's not, because I would say, you know, what I'm feeling is that it's more that she's always got an eye on the baby, and and it becomes a pack. And so if you want some special time with your, you know, the mama dog, you know, take her out by herself.
Okay. Okay, yeah, they're usually together. Same room,
right.
Sleep in the same room, go outside together. I take them for walks together. So she also has a way that she stares at you. She will look at you. And I'm asking her, what does she want? And she's, then she'll look away. So she doesn't really go to the door like, that's what I want, or I want food. So I was just wondering, sometimes I say to her, well, what are you thinking? you know, I want to know
it's
what's
really
going
a way,
on.
I'm telling you, she takes it very seriously that she is a mom.
Okay.
And that she has a baby dog, and that she's the head of a dog pack. And even though, you know, you're a family, you are not her dog pack. And so
Okay. Sometimes
when she's making that full eye contact, it's actually a little bit of intimidation. Does that make sense?
Oh. Yeah, I get intimidated. I try to stare her down, but she stares me down.
Oh, you won't stare her down. That's what it is. That's how she is trying to intimidate you. And she's saying,
okay.
I'm the alpha, and this is my baby, and I run the show.
Okay.
You know, but again, if you take her out of that little pack and you have time with her by yourself, she'll be submissive to you.
Great. Great, because I love them both. I mean, I don't choose
one
over
awesome.
The other. You know, they are. They're wonderful. Well, listen, thank you so much. That helps.
Oh, you're very welcome. Just remember that even though we share the planet, they have their own little rules, and so it's nothing against you. They love you.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Have a good evening. Bye.
Thank you. Call again.
Thanks.
Well, thanks. I am so enjoying your calls, and that is something to remember that, you know, and that's something else that Tonk said in his video, is that we have to remember that we share this planet. And he said a really interesting thing. I asked him if there was something he wanted to say to everybody, and he said that he wanted us to drive more carefully. I think animals are becoming very acutely aware of our overpopulation, at least in populated areas, and also of our overuse of automobiles. Everybody's got one. Everybody uses one. And I think also he was saying that we're not paying enough attention. And, you know, who knows? Maybe the little woodland creatures talk to each other. And say, oh, so-and-so just got, you know, hit or run over, or they drive too fast. But, you know, with everybody driving and texting and talking on the phone, he could have been a public service announcement. He said, we've got to pay more attention when we drive for our own good and for the safety of the animals. And so this is all, and as my friend Maku from Finland explained it, we are all part of a web. It's a frequency. There's nothing that's unconnected. So if we change our consciousness about that, we can have a more empathetic sense of everything that we do. I know that last week we were talking a great deal about the spill, the oil spill in the Gulf, and how, in many ways, it's Mother Earth's call to action for spiritual people. And another thing that we've done, or I've done on Facebook, is created a page for planetary citizens who want the government to resolve the oil spill. Anything you do every single day, if you're conscious and you're thinking about the planet and you're thinking about how powerful you are as an individual energy source, you can make a difference just by focusing on these changes and by praying for connection to your fellow life forms. And we're not powerless. Even though there are, people supposedly in charge, and there are things that make us want to cry, when you look at pictures of the animals that have been hurt by the Gulf spill, and I don't particularly like sharks. In fact, they're one of my phobias. I revealed it to the world. But the fact that sharks have been swimming closer to shore because they smell the methane, they have to get away from the poison. That tells you that this is not. We're not isolated. You know, what happens where we are happens somewhere else. And there are oil spills in Nigeria that they've been suffering with. What happens there happens to us here. So I think one of the reasons that these things happen, are to raise our sense of vibration with each other as planetary. I called it planetary citizens because we need to start thinking globally and not regionally. Each of us, we talked last week, I don't know, again, for those of you who missed it, we were talking about how there is technology, there are microbes that can literally eat up the excess oil. And I was thinking about that, and I like to think of all of us as individuals, as microbes that can eat up the excess, negative energy, that we can send out positive energy, and each of us be the individual light. That's why we're here going through our Lessons of Soul Odyssey, is that, everything that we do to change our little piece of it changes the person next to us. So learning to communicate with your animals and connecting with them and understanding their world from their point of view, not necessarily strictly understanding it from our point of view, also teaches us compassion. And then it's often easier to have compassion and connection with animals because many of us, from the time we're young, as we learn to mistrust, many of us are unable to regain trust in our fellow human beings. So it's often easier to start healing our wounds by connecting to animals who don't have a hidden agenda. They can be sneaky. I mean, if I leave anything within reach of my whippet and go upstairs, I'll hear crash, bang, and my three dogs gang up, and the whippet can stretch so tall that she'll grab whatever food is on the counter and she'll give it to the other two dogs, and they'll be really sneaky about it. But it's not the same thing as being deceptive and acting against me. They're acting for themselves because they want whatever I was stupid enough to leave within their reach. So there's a reason why we are learning to love and connect to these animals. It's to heal our souls from the wounds that we encounter by being in a world that's both dark and light. Because as we move into the light, we want to let go of the negativity and the darkness. And that's difficult because we have to relearn things that might have been our original language, and our original mentality was we had no reason to question that our needs would be met. And we had no reason to question love until we had to. If we were, it depends on the circumstance that we were born into. Whether or not we're able to trust and how soon we become frightened and start going off our main path. So that's why these things are important on a more cosmic level. And it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy communicating with the animals. People do not believe that I can do it. They are starting to believe, however, that people can be psychic and can have medium ability. But so many people just do not believe. What do they think? People don't understand that we originated with telepathic communication. We did not have language. we were originally able to understand each other from feeling and from vibration. And that's a language that we lost as we became too reliant on our intellect and lost trust in our sense of love and our sense of connection. So I find it to be very amusing that I hear the animals and yet people think I'm a weirdo. But I am, yeah, I mean, you know, I'll gratefully accept that title. But, you know, these are natural things. We're all going to grow into our telepathy. And it'll just make me laugh someday when people who said, I never believed that you could talk to that horse, you were making that up, all of a sudden start hearing their own animals saying things to them. And they'll say, what? Did you really just say that? And I'll just laugh. Because we all have the capability to connect with our animal friends and with all of nature. I just happen to have my frequencies open. Again, the phone number here is 888-815-9756. I welcome your calls. Take advantage of it. Sometimes when we have guests, we're unable to really take the time, and I get calls from you all at, like, you know, 1 minute to the end of the hour, and one caller I adore calls and always invariably asks the question, like, what is the meaning of the universe? And I have exactly, you know, 2 minutes, and my guest has exactly, you know, 30 seconds. We're going into the second half hour of the show. This is Soul Odyssey, and you're with your host, mystic medium animal communicator, Deborah Herman, if you're just joining us. Today we were going to have a guest from South Dakota. She is a woman who helps to rescue the wild horses and burros, and she allows their herds to go on and to thrive and to live their lives the way they would normally live their lives in nature. And the Lakota Indians believe that she is an answer to their legend, because their legend says that someday the wild horses will be returned to their native land. And this is where she is in South Dakota. She was unable to join us because they had several tornadoes that hit in the area where she is. And in fact, unfortunately, they did lose a filly. Fortunately, there wasn't more damage there wasn't more property damage. So our prayers do go out to them. That's Karen Sussman. And, you can look her up, on the internet. I did post a wonderful, little YouTube, clip about Karen and the work that she does for the Mustangs and Burros. They do need help. They need fundraising help. They need your support. They've been in existence since the 1960s, and with everything going on in the world, their funding is drying up, their private funding, and they need to keep these herds thriving. In Oklahoma, many of the horses have been captured because they were wandering onto private land, and these herds are being separated, and they will become extinct. So I do encourage you to follow up on Karen Sussman's work and become involved. In various parts of the country, there are, during the solstice, harmony and peace gatherings. This year they are honoring the horse, because there is a recognition that horses are very significant to our survival as a species. They are highly evolved. They are the keepers of the flame. And when I first had the privilege to start communicating with my horse, I really thought it was just going to be a fun, quirky thing in addition to the other things that I do. I didn't understand the importance of it. I see that it's a great privilege every time I'm allowed to enter into his world and to see the world from the eyes and heart of another species, because we're all connected, but we are different. And there's much we can learn from how the instincts of various animals play into how they run their individual little societies and how they take care of each other. Their laws, so to speak, or their instinctive behaviors make sense in the context of their natural habitats and environments. Unfortunately, as we in our ignorance have interfered, we've changed their natural patterns. And again, everything is connected. Everything was related. If the horses lose their natural habitats, we lose. For every creature that becomes extinct, unless it's meant to be by heaven, if it's because of our doing or lack of intervention, it's something that is very important that we lose, that interferes with our progression as a species, as human beings. So that's why this is important. So again, this is live call-in. 888-815-9756. I don't want to hear from you all that you didn't get a chance to get on the air and have your dog or cat read, because I'm here for you and I'm here to help you to understand the world from the eyes of your animals, because they're absolutely amazing. At some point, I'm hoping that my horse will take his show on the road a little bit, and we'll get to either have people meet him or that he will be able to go and meet other people, because many of these horses are really here as healers, and they have a significant impact on people who come in contact with them. Because when you're with a horse, you need to be present. You need to be in the moment, and you need to be focused. And for many of us on a spiritual path, that's not an easy thing to do because we live in the ethers. But when you're with a horse, you need to pay attention to all kinds of things, like, you know, where your feet are, what they're doing. You know, what are they feeling? What are they seeing? Because that really could affect your safety. And so that's another reason it's good to be around big animals. So if you feel that you're in need of grounding, or I find that women, especially as we get older, we need something to restore us to our individual nature, our heart, our identity. Because, and this is not to leave you men out, but women, we tend to spend our lives as caregivers or focused on other people's needs. We're mothers, we're wives, and even though their husbands are husbands, a wife often is just by nature, we give ourselves the responsibility of taking care of everyone else's, our needs, identity crises. And, there's a point, where we reach a certain age and all of a sudden we say, well, what is my identity? And having my horse helped me a great deal, although I struggle with it every day of course, it's our whole life is our path and our process. But I do know that when I first got Tonk or connected with him, now I had been dreaming about him. I didn't realize it was him, but I had been dreaming about him for months. And I really do believe that Spirit wanted me to connect with him for my healing and for my expansion. I had no idea that I would ultimately become an animal communicator, but I would dream about a Palomino, beautiful, golden horse, and the freedom of riding, the freedom of riding also being very representative of freedom, because on our path we don't realize that we are free. The only being that we answer to is God. But so many of us, women particularly, never feel free. We people also, in general, I'll go back to a generalization, I absolutely believe that people who contemplate suicide are people who feel painted into a corner, who have lost their sense of freedom, who feel powerless, and who do not believe that they have any control or any input into the course of their lives. And so, learning how to be with a horse gave me a real sense of being empowered. And so it was a wonderful thing for me to do. But this is something that is part of the spiritual path. Somehow we need to find ways to connect with our identity and our authentic selves. It's, we're not giving up the caring that we have for other people. It's why we're here. And so if at a certain point we don't look at our lives and look at the things that we've already done and how we've helped guide the other people around us, if we don't look at that and say, okay, now I have to figure out me. I have to know what I think, who I am, what I like, what I want. You know, if we don't do that, it's going to cause us to feel empty, and it's going to cause us to feel powerless. And even if we're not people who are suicidal, so to speak, the death of the spirit is as horrible as the death of the body, because it's a death. And it's a disconnection from God, and it's a disconnection from our path. So it causes us to go to sleep. So I wholeheartedly recommend that if you feel in any way stuck on your path, that you find a way to connect with an animal of some sort, if that's right for you. I mean, some people are allergic, some people are frightened. But there is a tremendous amount to be gained by connecting with animals, because they bring us out of ourselves. They give us without, expecting much. I mean, it looks like cats expect a lot, but in reality, they're pretty self-sufficient. They give to us, and they keep us grounded on earth, and they help us get out of our negative thoughts, the thoughts that tell us that we are lost, that we are alone, that we have nothing to contribute to the world. Those are the thoughts that we need to grow beyond, because those are the dark thoughts, and we are becoming and growing into beings of light. So, if you want to communicate with your animal companion, one of the first things you need to do is to accept that it's possible and to quiet your mind when you're around them, and perhaps focus on a particular part of, their head or something, to give you a focus point, and quiet your mind and just see what comes through. And for me, it translates into English, which is really mind-blowing. I mean, I literally hear my horse say, tell them I love them, and I don't believe that I can't be making it up. That's the way some of us are. We are telepathic. We translate it into English. But you may be as simple as, seeing a picture. When I was learning with a wonderful animal communicator named Dawn Allen, who's in the Massachusetts, Connecticut area, she had us all tune in to her big rabbit, Bromley, remotely, and to try to figure out what was his favorite food. And I kept getting a picture of these corn pops. And I just, I wanted a second guess and say, no, that's not possible. So we went around the room, and, of course, we all picked up that he really likes carrots and he likes, greens. But I decided, I've been at this long enough. I'm going to stick to my guns. And I said, he likes corn pops, or corn puffs, like a cereal. And at first, you know, and she's really, really sweet, and she didn't want me to feel disappointed, but at first she said, no, I never give that to him. And after a while she said, wait a second, that sounds like the cereal that my children eat, my little girl, my baby. Evidently, the little girl's been sneaking the bunny the corn puffs. So it came to me as a picture, and you have to get to the point where you say, no, I'm right. And the more you do that and the more you practice, the more you're able to get either feelings or pictures from your animal companions. And, you know, you really do know. You may want to talk to someone like me because, you know, I have had experience and I'm out there saying, yes, I talk to animals, just to validate that you're getting the messages. But if you're someone who loves animals and you spend time with them, you know what they're thinking. You know what they're feeling. You know, especially people with their dogs. No one can tell you differently. You can read your animal. They find a way to communicate with you, even if it's pictures or energy. And you can also use those same skills to open and understand other people intuitively if you're willing to be compassionate and open and to try to see the world from their eyes. And then the benefit of that, of course, is that you are less judgmental because you realize that in the long run, everybody's really A-okay and we're all just struggling on the path and we're all being thrown all these obstacles and we just need to survive the best that we can. And so, you know, you don't carry as much resentment toward people or fear. Unless it's someone you should fear. Remember that animals have an acute sense of protection for themselves. They can sense danger. Those are the types of senses and intuitions that you can try to refine for yourself. You know, those are all just skills and gifts that you can grow as you progress on your spiritual path. So we are getting close to 10 of the hour. We're entering the last final roundup of this show. We've had a couple of callers. I hope I've given you some good information about animal communication. I encourage you to look at my videos with Tonk because he's becoming a ham and he really likes imparting information to you. I hope to do more. Share them. If you're on Facebook, share them. If you're on Twitter, you can share them. I'm now on Twitter under Mystic Deborah. And I welcome all of you to follow me there. You'll get announcements about the show. And Tonk also posts on Twitter through the same account. So you'll be getting us both. I hope that you'll consider voting and voting and voting for me with Oprah's OWN TV contest. Just keep me in the running. You go there, you browse, you look under Deborah Herman, and it'll take you to me, and you vote, and you click, and you click, and you click. Let's show them what we're made of, that we want a spiritual type of show one way or another. Of course, I'd love it to be me. But one way or another, that we want this kind of material, and that it would be a good thing to do for a talk show. I don't know what topics are of interest to you. I only guess from my heart. So feel free to write to me at Deborah at soul-odyssey.com. And tell me if there's something you would like or if you would like to ask me questions and you're a little shy to ask on the air. Looks like Ken's gotten back in touch with us. How are you, Ken?
Okay. I got a question. our cat Bertram hissed at a friend of ours and she'd come over before and he was fine. And the information that I got is that he doesn't like her to smoke or something along those lines. Was that accurate?
Is she a spiritual person?
Yes.
I think she had a manifestation with her. Not that of course he's not going to like smoking.
Right.
Okay, so trust your instincts. But I have a feeling that she had like a little angel or some kind of manifestation with her, and he saw it and he didn't understand it.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With the type of person that she is?
Yep. Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
I told you, he's a little neurotic. He gets, he's like a little scaredy cat. So he didn't understand what it was.
Okay, well, I'll explain it to him, and maybe that'll make a difference next time she comes over.
Definitely. And, also maybe just smudge or something before she comes or after she comes or something, because... I didn't feel it was a negative thing, but you don't need extra little spirits in your house.
Okay.
All right. But he sees things, and does he have cross eyes or no?
No.
Okay. But are his eyes unusual? Like, does he have big eyes?
Yeah. Well, Bailey does too. Bailey's our other kitty. He's white. He's got big paws.
No, does Bertram have more chocolate looking?
He's gray.
Is he dark around his eyes though? Like, do his eyes pop out like big eyes?
Yeah. Yeah, they're yellow.
Okay, send me a picture of him.
Okay. We'll do it.
I really want to meet him in the physical. I want to see what he looks like. But no, I think he was seeing something.
All right.
And do you ever see him hiss at things when there's nothing there?
Occasionally I think I see something, yeah. I mean,
good little kitty.
Eye. Pardon me?
Good little watch kitty.
Yes.
Okay. Does Lillian want to ask anything while I'm still on the air? We've got 4 minutes.
I just wanted to know about Bailey, how he's doing, whether he has any messages for us.
Did Bailey like you a little better?
Yeah, I would guess so.
Because Bailey is like, yeah, Daddy's okay, but you're doing really, really great. Does that make sense? It's like, she's just doing great.
Yeah, he follows me around and makes sure I don't get into trouble.
Unfortunately, I need to wrap up now, but thank you so much for calling, and I want you to, make sure to listen and call again. I want to thank all of our listeners this evening. Thank you for joining us with Soul Odyssey Radio, and we will be back in 2 weeks live. Next week, you can check out our former guest, Sheldon Neidels. He's doing a webinar, and I will be taking a week off, and we'll be back in 2 weeks live with Soul Odyssey Radio. Thank you very much.